So Luke 18, look at verse 1. And he goes on and he says, "Then he spoke a parable to them, that men always ought to pray and not lose heart, saying, there was in a certain city a judge who did not fear God nor regard men. Now there was a widow in that city, and she came to him, saying, 'Get justice for me, for my adversary.' And he would not for a while, but afterwards he said within himself, 'Though I do not fear God nor regard men, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she wearies me.' Then the Lord said, 'Hear what the unjust judge said. And shall God not avenge his own elect who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them? And I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth?" So, Father, as we come together, we just pray, Lord, that you would speak to us this morning. Lord, by faith, we want to trust in you what you want to do this morning. Father, you're still alive and moving here with us and on this earth. You're still sitting on the throne, God, and the gospel's still being preached and people are still getting saved. So, Lord, our heart's desire is to have an experience with you that's more and beyond that we could ever imagine. Lord, that we can know you personally and be renewed by the power of your Holy Spirit, renewed in our minds, that we would be transformed, that we would be made new and become living sacrifices unto you. So bless us this morning, Lord, and fill us. And we do give you all the glory and all the honor. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. Go ahead and have a seat. I just want to say that Thursday at Home Fellowship, we went to the movies. It was really fun. A lot of us from our Home Fellowship and some others from the church, we went. And it was great. It was a good movie. I would recommend it to go see it. It was awesome. It was exciting to see. I was excited because I came out of that revival, the Jesus movement, back in 1978, in the 70s, when this was happening, and they were going on, and many people were getting saved. It was amazing I can't remember the city where it started off in San Francisco. You guys remember the name of the place? What is it? Yeah. Okay, Ashbury. And it's interesting, when they mentioned that Ashbury in San Francisco is where the Jesus movement started, I thought about Ashbury in Kentucky, that the revival is now starting there now. I'm ready to change North Park. Maybe we need to change the name. I don't know. Yeah, North Ashbury. Yeah. It was exciting. It was exciting. I was excited about it. And little bits and pieces watching the movie just brought back these memories of when I first gave my life to the Lord. And you got to remember that these revivals, they started off in prayer. That's how they started. People were praying for God and praying that the church back then, the church would be open through Calvary Chapel. They'll be able to be accepted and everything. And prayer, it was prayer through a few students that started in Kentucky. So as we read here in Luke chapter 18, remember in response to the Pharisees' question in chapter 17, verse 20, about when will the kingdom of God come? And Jesus then turned to his disciples. He said that the kingdom of God will come. Do you guys believe that? Right. The kingdom of God will come. But it will come in a time when you least expect it to come. There will be this length of time, he told them, that when it comes, there will be signs that are going to come first. So they're going to have to what? Wait. They're going to have to be watchful. They're going to have hope. And then here in chapter 18, verse 1, Jesus once again tells them that They're going to have to wait, but what? Wait in prayer. I don't know about you, but praying is so important in my life. Prayer in my life is like what air is to breathing. So here in verse 1 of chapter 18, Jesus is pointing out that the secret to prayer is, because you're waiting for the Son of Man to come back, wait in prayer. So the secret in prayer, listen, is persistence. It's persistence. I think this is the lesson that Jesus is teaching to his disciples in this passage. And I think that's what he wants to teach us as well. Because Jesus was strong, he was firm in encouraging his disciples to pray and to persevere in prayer. And as they waited for the return of Christ, they needed to stand fast in prayer, praying always and not giving up, not giving in or being discouraged, no matter how long it takes for his return. We are called to pray. We are called to keep on praying. And Jesus here in verse 1, he gives us three words that encourage us to pray. And now what I want you to do, look at verse 1. We're going to read it here. It says, "And then he spoke a parable unto them to this end, that men ought to always pray, not faint." Now that's from the King James Version, okay? Anybody has the King James? Okay, that's what the King James says. But the New King James tells us, "Then he spoke a parable to them that men always ought to pray and lose heart." There ain't no difference, maybe a couple of words difference there. So again, praying is so important. He gives us three words. Now what I want you to do, I'm going to give you these three words. If you have a King James, then there's going to be four. If you have a New King James, there's going to be three words in this one verse that I want you to highlight. If you have a phone, then I want you to look at the person who has a Bible and make sure they highlight it. If they don't, I want you to underline it for them, okay? I want you to highlight it for them, okay? The three words that you need to highlight if you have a Bible again or if you have a phone. The first word is this, found in the King James Bible, is "to this end," and the word "ought" is in the New King James. So I want you to highlight or underline the word "ought," or "to this end," in the word "ought," which means in the Greek that it's absolutely necessary that you pray. So when Jesus said that men ought to pray, he's saying it's absolutely necessary for you to pray. All believers, everybody who calls himself a Christian, must persevere in prayer. So highlight that word. The next word I want you to highlight is the word "always." Okay, the word "always" here in verse 1, it means what? All the time. So first he says you ought to pray to the end, and he says then you always means pray all the time. We are to build and have this constant spirit of prayer. You know what it is to have a spirit of prayer? Paul mentions it in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16 and 17. Verse 16 through 19. Listen to what he says. This is what it is to have a spirit of prayer. He says, "Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing." That's having a spirit of prayer. "And in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus." For who? For you. For me. "Do not quench the spirit." So the word "always," it means that we need to what? Maintain an unbroken consciousness of God's presence in our life. To practice the very presence of God in our life and to walk in a constant state of prayer. I don't know about you, but I pray without ceasing. I pray in the Spirit all the time. Everywhere I go, I'm constantly thinking about God. I'm praying. And not on my knees, not on my flat on my face. Sometimes when I'll get on my knees. Sometimes, there's certain different positions. But when I'm just walking down the street, I'm praying. Underneath my breath, I'm praying in my mind, I'm praying in my heart, constantly communicating to God. That's what it means. I'm maintaining this unbroken conversation and consciousness of God in my life. I'm practicing the very presence of God in my life. By why? By being in an example of God, being an example of Christ, of being a Christian and constantly in a state of prayer. Next, I want you to highlight the word not to faint, okay? Highlight that word, okay? Go ahead and underline it in the person in the Bible next to you if you have a pen, and they don't. It's okay. They can look at it later. Now, so Jesus says, instead of losing heart, instead of being discouraged by all the difficulties that are in your life, that are in my life, all these difficulties, or even within the in your ministry, or even what you feel might be in the church today, or whatever you see all around you, as a believer of Jesus Christ, we need to find our strength. We need to find the peace of God. We need to find confidence, and it needs to be in the Lord. In the Lord. And you know that God, He has everything under control. How many of you believe that, right? Doesn't God have everything? It might not look like it sometimes, but God has everything in control. Nothing's out of His control. And He has a good reason to why He sometimes delays or in prayer, but also he has a good reason why He's delaying in His return for us right now. And you know what that is? Exactly, because He's long-suffering and patient, lest any should perish, but that all come to eternal life. See, we want Jesus to come right now, right? I want Him to come right now. But Jesus says, I don't want to come right now because I still want to save more people. He tells me, don't you want more people to get saved? And I'm like, okay, yes, yes. But I want to be with you, Lord. See, Paul said that. Paul said to live for Christ, to die is gain. To be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord. I'd rather be present with the Lord. But if it means me benefiting those still here on earth, then I will be about the Father's business and I will still continue to reach out, continue to preach the gospel. But I'd rather be with the Lord. Guys, you're forgetting you're with the Lord every day. Don't forget that just because we're not with Him in the heavens, we're with Him in the Spirit. And we're with Him, and it's done through prayer. So as we are waiting and praying and seeking the Lord while we wait, guess what? We can learn from God about His timing, about His sovereignty in our lives, and we don't have to lose heart. Because when you lose heart, think about this. When you lose heart, then many times you fail to pray. And you become discouraged. And you find yourself not praying like you should pray or how you used to pray. Listen to this saying. I found this. It doesn't tell us who said it, but I found it. I just kind of punched it on Google it. Okay, it's funny how you can Google anything, right? You can. You go in there or YouTube anything. It's all there. But you have to be careful too. But listen to what it says. It says, in the midst of a multitude of activities that we must not let nothing encroach upon our prayer time. The devil will allow us to be as busy as we please if only he can get us praylessly busy. He knows he has no counter weapons against prayer. Keep your prayer time with all diligence. How important that we need to pray at all times. And he says, don't let prayer become a last resort. Instead, let it be your first resource. Right? Don't let it be your last resort. Let it be your first resource. And I believe that Jesus is our best example of someone who prayed always. He always prayed. He lived a life of prayer. He was always praying for his disciples and for those who he called his own. In Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25, it says, therefore, he is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. Did you know Jesus is praying for us right now? Isn't it awesome to know that? Not only do we pray for one another, and you know, we have prayer chains. We have a prayer chain here. We have a prayer text. We have home fellowship prayer list. And we have a family group prayer list, you know. But don't forget that Jesus is also praying for you. He's up there interceding for us. So we must not lose heart in prayer. We must not give up or give in to evil. Remember what prayer is, okay? You got to remember what prayer is. And you got to remember and you got to know what prayer isn't. Now, here's the most basic definition of prayer. The most basic definition of prayer, what I have read, is just talking to God. That's it. That's the basic definition of prayer, is talking to God. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 18. I'm going to give you scriptures here. Paul said this, "For it's through him that we both, whether we're far off or near, now have an introduction or access by one Holy Spirit to the Father, so that we are able to approach him." And then, of course, you know what Hebrews chapter 14, verse 16 says. Who's sharp? What does it say? Without looking, you know? Hebrews 14, 16, without looking, it says this, "Let us therefore come boldly to the throne room of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace and help in time of need." Boldly. You know what it is to be bold? He says we have access and boldness to come into the throne room of God. So prayer is talking to God. Now, what prayer isn't, now listen, what prayer isn't, prayer is not meditation, okay? It's not meditating. Prayer isn't having this passive reflection. Prayer is not folding your legs in the shape of an X. I can't even cross my legs, you know? I don't know how they do it. You see them on there, and they got their legs folded like this, and it's like they have no legs. How do they do that? I don't know. Can you guys do that, you know? It's not pointing your thumb and your pointer finger like this. That's not prayer. Prayer is having a direct line and address to God. It's having communication with that inner man or that inner woman, the soul and the spirit, that part that relates to God that's in you. That's the part that God created to have prayer with. Not with your flesh, but with the soul and the spirit. With our inner man and the inner woman. That's the part that God relates to. He made that. He made our soul and our spirit that's within us. Listen, prayer is direct prayer, okay? It's getting to the point in bringing before him your needs according to his will. Remember that. When you pray to God, be direct with God. Just go to get to the point. What prayer isn't directional prayer. Okay, it's not directions. You don't tell God how to answer your prayer, or you don't pray to him when he answers your prayer. You don't like it, so you try to change him. That's not prayer. If he doesn't, or if you take things into your own hands to help him out, because sometimes we do that. I know I'm gonna say I'm guilty. I'm the first one that's guilty. If God, huh? Yeah, if God doesn't answer my prayer, then I kind of say, okay, Lord, maybe we can do it this way. So I'm giving him directional prayer. I'm telling him how to do it. That's not prayer. Prayer is direct prayer. You accept God's will. You accept the prayer, his answer, yes, no, or whatever he wants to do. Because he's not answering my prayer in a way that I want him to. Or sometimes maybe I feel like, God, you're a little too slow. I think I need to help you. That's not prayer. Prayer can be audible or silent. Prayer can be private or public. It could be formal or informal. But prayers must be offered in what? Faith. They must be offered in faith. James chapter 1, verse 6. Listen to what James says. "Let him who asks in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven tossed by the wind. For let not a man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man and unstable in his way." So when you pray to the Lord, he says, don't be a double-minded man. You lift your prayers up. A double-minded person is when you lift your prayers up to the Lord and they're going up to God and they say, ah, he ain't going to answer. Oh, no, it's not going to happen. And then they shoot right back down. I'm guilty. Sometimes I pray, oh, okay, Lord, do this. Oh, it ain't going to happen. That's being a double-minded person. prayer must be done in the name of the Lord Jesus. Jesus said that in John chapter 6, verse 23. He says that in the day you will ask me nothing. Most assuredly, I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. Until now, you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. Prayer must be done in the power of the Holy Spirit. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. Listen to what Paul says. Well, actually, 26. Verse 26, 8, verse 26. He said, likewise, the Spirit also helps us in our weaknesses. You guys believe that? Isn't that true? Yes, he does. But we do not know what we should pray for as we ought to, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now, he who searches the heart knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. That's the point there. Your prayers are going to be answered according to the will of God. Not according to you, not according to somebody else, but according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for who? For those who what? And who are what? According to his purpose. See, I love our church because you guys are in the Word of God. I love it. I love when I can say something and you can finish off that scripture. You know actually the scripture that I'm looking for. Listen to what J.C. Lambert said. He said, as the International Standard Bible Encyclopedia puts it, Christian's prayer in its full New Testament meaning is prayer addressed to God as Father, in the name of Christ as mediator, and through the enabling grace of the indwelling Holy Spirit. So you see the work of the Trinity in prayer. They all work together to answering prayer. Jeremiah 29:13, listen to what it says. It says, and you will seek me and you will find me when you search for me with all your what? Heart. When you pray, you will find him. And then Matthew 7, chapter 7, verse 7. What did Jesus say? Who's sharp? What does that say without looking? It says, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. Everyone who asks receives, and he who finds, he seeks will find. And to him who knocks, it will be open. He's talking about a constant knocking, a constant seeking, and a constant knocking, finding, asking. It's not just a one-time thing. It's a constant thing. Listen to what Paul said in Ephesians chapter 6, 18. He says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Philippians 4, 6, Paul said this, be anxious for what? But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your what? Be known to who? To God. And what will happen? Which? Understanding will what? In your what? Through? Isn't that awesome? You guys know. Those are the promises of God. I should have you out, every one of you come up here and we just give the sermon together. You know? Why? You know why you know that those scriptures? Because it's written in your heart, tablets of your heart. You are an epistle written and read and known by all men. You're a walking Bible. And it's good to know the Bible, because the day will come when they take the Word of God away from us. If Jesus should tarry, it will come. I mean, they try to get us not to have our Bibles in church during COVID. They said, okay, you can have church, but you can't have any. They said, you can't have any Bibles in the pews. Yeah, and I'm thinking, okay, yeah, well, that's the very start of them one day coming in and taking our Bibles away from us. But they cannot take the Word of God that's written in the tablet of your heart. Colossians chapter 4, listen to what Paul says. Continue earnestly in what? Prayer. In prayer. Being diligent in it with thanksgiving. Meanwhile, praying always for us that God will open to us a door for the word to speak the mysteries of Christ, for which I am also in chains, that I may make it manifested as I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom toward those who are outside, redeeming the time, and let your speech always be with what? Grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. Now, I've been praying since this revival that started in Kentucky. I've been personally praying for revival in my own life and in the body of Christ here at Horizon North Park. I've been praying. This was what I've been bringing before the Lord. And the Lord showed me what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 18, verse 20. He said, "For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am here in the midst." Where two or three are gathered in his name. So I was praying and I was saying, "Okay, Lord, I'm so not burdened, but I'm just so heavily wanting revival to start here among us." In my own personal life, I mentioned that the revival that started in Kentucky started through prayer. The few students coming together in prayer. And when they started praying, revival started happening. So, well, we're going to do something different. So I've been praying about, okay, Lord, we've been doing it on Tuesdays. We've been praying on home fellowship, you know, off and on. But how can we get our church, how can revival start within us in the body of Christ here? And then I go to 18 and he says, and Jesus said that he spoke this prayer saying, men always ought to pray and not lose heart. When they started that revival in Kentucky, people were praying, they were repenting. Repentance is part of revival. It's cleansing yourself, it's changing, it's pouring out your life before God and praying and asking God to heal you. And confession, repentance, confession, and worshiping and praying. So what I want to do right now, and I'm hoping that you guys, I'm hoping that we can get revival to start here. God has to bring it. We can't force it. We can ask for it. We can pray. But what I want to do right now, I'm going to ask everybody to get in these little small groups, and I want everybody to pray for personal revival in your own life and revival that will start here at Horizon North Park. For your personal revival, the Lord showed me this. He gave me this in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13. He says, "Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not conforming yourself to the former lusts as in your ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in your conduct. Because it is written, be holy for I am holy." For your own personal revival, and then for revival for the body of Christ here at Horizon, but all over. The Lord gave me 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. You know it. He says, "If my people," listen to what it says, "if my people will humble themselves and pray and search for me and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear them from heaven and forgive their sins and heal their land. I will listen wide awake to every prayer made in this place. For I have chosen this temple and sacrificed it to be my home forever. And my eyes and my heart shall always be here." That's very encouraging, knowing that God says that this place here is his. He chose this place. He chose it to sanctify it, and for it will be his home forever, and that his eyes and his heart shall be here with us. And so what I want to do this morning, I'm going to ask that you guys break up in little groups, okay? Just get in some groups. I want you to pray. I'm asking God to let us start here. I want you to pray for revival in your own life, and I want you to pray for revival, that revival will come in here. In the church itself, And maybe, just maybe, something will happen like it did in those students in Kentucky. And revival broke out. So you didn't think I was going to do that this morning. But see, we're small and family enough to that we're able to do this. So just kind of look around and get in little groups. And I want you to start praying. Just start praying for these, for revival. And let's see what the Lord does. Father, we do thank you. And we thank you for your goodness, for your love, your mercy, Lord. We thank you that we get this opportunity to come together and praying. Father, not too often do churches just stop and pray. But it's awesome, Lord. This is where it begins. It begins in talking with you, Lord. The best basic description of prayer is talking to God. And Lord, we're not looking for a revival that's like other revivals that people had. We want a personal one from you, Lord. Whether it starts today, whether it starts tomorrow, Lord, our hearts desire, Jesus, when you said that you'll come and we have to wait in prayer and we have to go through what we go through, but be persistent in prayer until you return, Lord. So that's what we're doing. We're praying. We're praying that you will revive us, Lord. That you would fill us, Father. That you would empty us of ourselves. That we would decrease so that you can increase, Lord. And we desire that it would start according to your perfect will. That you would bring it, Father. You would bring it on us, Lord. That's our desire. And we pray, Father, that you would, that we will continue in prayer, Father, as when we leave this place, Lord, that we won't stop praying. We're going to continue to look forward to the and wait for the opening of your of heaven and the pouring out of your Holy Spirit on our life, Lord, like a tongue of fire, that you would open up the floodgate of heaven, Lord, that you would pour it down upon us, Lord, that we would, that this place would be shaken, it would be stirred up, our faith would be stirred up, the sound of a mighty wind would rush through here, Lord, and our lives would be impacted and changed. So I pray for the anointing of your Holy Spirit to fall upon us, Lord. Father, that we would be open, our hearts would be open to whatever you want to do, Lord. And Lord, as we look at what you said in those verses about how when the Son of Man returns, will he find faith on the earth? We want that faith, Lord. We want that faith that you are looking for. And we pray, Father, that you would continue to bless us as we worship, Lord, that you would revive us throughout this day and tomorrow, Lord, that every day we would be changed in a moment. Of a twinkling of an eye, Lord, that we're waiting for that day to come, but we would be renewed in the spirit of our minds, that we would be transformed, that we would be that living sacrifice, holy and acceptable for your reasonable service, that we would be more than conquerors through Jesus who loved us, that we would be that royal priesthood. And so bless us, Lord, as we worship. Bless us. And we give you glory and honor. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord.